The Jay Young Show is a weekly podcast featuring insightful discussions with anyone from big business CEOs, celebrities, to military heroes. Each interview is a personal conversation about business, life, and anything in between. And now, your host, Jay Young.
Hey everybody, this is Jay Young, and we're at the Jay Young Show again, but I got some great guests today. We're going to talk about $80 to $100 oil. Is it coming? And is it coming by end of this year, next year? And really, what's going on in the industry right now? Because there's a lot of things going on in the world, actually, about what's going on. Why could oil prices go up? Why won't they go up? What's holding it back? Let's talk about Ryan Ray, Stu Turley. Let's talk about Stu Turley, Ryan Ray. Man, these guys are phenomenal. They've been on the show before. And just an incredible amount of information. Let's talk first about, you know, Ryan. Ryan is a world podcaster, world-known podcaster. I mean, he's the CEO of Ray Global Advisors. He's on the George Bush Foundation Board advisor there. I mean, he is a very – people look to him on his newsletter and also his podcast. Stu Turley, Sandstone, talks about – regulations and helping small oil and gas companies in a world of information. Matter of fact, you don't see all of his monitors right now. All you see is half of them. So, man, guys, I look forward to this. This is going to be a lot of fun and a lot. I mean, get your notepad out, right? We're going to talk about things you're going to want to write down. So let's first talk about $80 to $100 oil. What do y'all see, Ryan? Where are you on the price oil by end of this year?
You know, $80 to $100 oil is interesting because the big question I think we're all agreeing on is how much production can the U.S. ramp up between now and December? And it feels like where we sit at today that, not that we peaked, but that we're not going to see a lot more than what we currently do. And if that's the case, then oil prices could rise. The other thing to consider, though, is what will OPEC do? And this has kind of been lost to the shuffle. OPEC meets monthly now. They used to meet mainly two times a year. Now they meet monthly. And so they can influence the market a lot faster and respond a lot faster than they historically could. So I think those are the two things to watch is will the money, as the price, if the prices go up to 70, 75, will the money come back to the market? We see U.S. companies produce, ramp up production. And then B, how does OPEC respond on a month-by-month basis? They've done a pretty good job of keeping the market under wraps so far, and we'll see what happens as we go through the rest of the year.
I agree. I mean, that is really, really good because, you know, not long ago, I was thinking about, man, oil could, JP Morgan said 190 in a few years. And I'm like, you know what? I can see it running and just continuing because we're producing less supply, demand, you know, that, but then all of a sudden I thought, well, what about OPEC? OPEC is the only knife in the drawer that could come out and take care of this and go, whoop, wait a minute, we're going to flood the market. We don't want $100 oil. We don't want $120, $140. That's putting us out of business because everybody in the United States continues to drill or drills new wells. So, Stu, what's your take on $80 to $100 oil by end of this year?
Well, we're one hack away from $200 oil. I mean, take a look at what happened with the Colonial. Oh, my goodness. Those hackers got in. And, Jay, how much was the ransom that we were talking about pre-show?
$4.8 million or something.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, think about all the people that want electric cars and everything else. Electric and green is going to cause more oil demand. And so I think everybody's missed that boat. Ryan brought up a fantastic point, meeting every month. Next month, I'm predicting that Saudi's going to raise they're going to go back to their production levels before because they need the cash flow. Iran just on Tuesday asked Saudi Arabia, and Jay, don't laugh at me, you normally do, but they actually went to Saudi Arabia and said, hey, can we sell our oil through your production area? And we promise we won't lob rockets at you. You know, wow. So Saudi Arabia is going to increase their production and they're going to be possibly taking Iran in. Ryan and I talked about the China, which he's the expert on in the room. And that is he's also the adult in the room. And that is that when you take a look at China is absorbing so much oil, Iran just signed that 25-year contract outside of OPEC, and that means that guarantees them cash flow. And then to put another squirrel on this one, Jay, is the fact that the nuclear deal talks are going on, and Iran could care less about the U.S. anymore. They're going to produce as much oil as they want to.
So, golly, that's great. Yeah. Hey, well, let's talk about – let's break this down a little bit. Let's talk about supply. Let's talk about demand. You're talking about supply right now. I mean, the supply of the global markets and all that. Where's the demand going to go? Ryan, what do you think the demand is going to do in the next 3 to 5 years, 10 years, 20 years in the United States? Just the demand. We're at 20 million barrels today. Where do you think it's going?
Right. So I'm long-term bullish on oil. I think that, you know, once you get past whatever this looks like, if that's a 6 month, a year, and I'll break that down like this. So when you look at jet fuel demand, most of the usage for jet fuel demand is long international flights. Well, those aren't really happening at scale right now. So until we figure out what the vaccine situation is going to look like, you know, COVID protocols moving forward to getting in and out of countries, until that's kind of resolved, you're not going to see long international flights return like they were. So we're still probably a ways out for that. The other thing to look at is gasoline demand. And so we're getting ready to hit summer demand for the U.S. And so what will we see? Well, we see a lot of people in the U.S. get in their car and drive on vacation. And I think we will. I think we should see a lot of folks out and about. And so demand should rise in the U.S. over the summer from a domestic car standpoint. Now, from the international flight standpoint, I still think we're probably a little bit off because it's not exactly clear. You know, if you want to go to China, you want to go to Africa, you know, you want to go to South America, you got to look up each country. Has it worked? Do you get the vaccine? Do you still have to quarantine? A lot of unanswered questions. And do you got to wear a mask for 15 hours? I think we're a little bit off from that. But once those questions get answered, then demand's back in both spots. And that's going to be good for the industry.
I agree with that. I definitely agree. I think with all the mask stuff going on right now, demand's going to explode this summer. Steve, what are your thoughts about demand, maybe this year and also, you know, going forward?
I got about three different thoughts. And one of them is the electrical vehicles and the battery and all of the precious minerals that are out there that are required. You have all of the U.S. Manufacturers saying they're going to quit making oil engines and all that in a certain time period. Here's my prediction. They're not going to be able to stop making that because electric vehicles are not going to be able to work with the trying to go to the green. I think they're going to have to have green. They're going to have gasoline powered cars for a lot longer than everybody's admitting. That's going to keep the demand higher because I don't believe that anybody can keep this electric vehicle process going forward. I think this is just a big green myth over here. So I firmly believe that long-term, Jay, you're going to see that. And I think that on the supply side, again, I hate to do this, but we lost all the pipelines, the Keystone, we're having problems with that. That's going to be a lessening of the supply side, which is going to drive the price up. And then you're going to see, we saw $6 oil in California. So I'm kind of bouncing around everywhere. But what that means for demand on this side is you will continue to see demand increase in the U.S. I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. And you know, it's like cars themselves are only like 20-30% of a barrel of oil. It's not like that, you know, if we have all electric cars that oil demand will go to zero, obviously. It's not going to happen. So we have like 20% of cars, 20% of trucking and jet fuel and things of that nature. So we're a long ways from that. And we're growing as an economy. The demand is going up. So it's not like we're, you know, it's like electric cars. Oh, my gosh, oil prices are going to zero. No, it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
We'll still, you know, and there's articles that I've seen. When I Google peak demand, I still see 10 years from it.
Right.
You know, it's not like I see peak demand is, you know, right now. Can
we talk about peak demand real quick?
Yeah.
Did you just cut off, Jay?
I like it, man. Hey, I like a guy that's strong and says, hey,
it gets my goat.
That means if you think you have something to say that's smarter than what I'm saying at this particular second, I like that, man. You're great.
I don't have anything smarter to say than you've ever said or ever will say, just to be clear.
Oh, man, you're awesome.
I'm just setting you up to slam. It's just like an alley-oop to slam at home.
There you go.
But let's talk about peak demand real quick. This really frustrates me. If you look at per capita oil use by nation, if you just Google that, there's a couple sites, but I think the U.S. is ranked like 20 or 21st. Well, if you look at the 19 to 20 in front of us, it's all small islands, so they're insignificant. So you throw them away, okay? And then if you look at total oil use by country, the U.S. is far and away number one. Then you factor in population. Okay, well, now you've got some weird charts because our population, we're not near the top. You've got China, India, Pakistan, who all have bigger populations, but yet our per capita and total oil use is larger than theirs. So to assume peak demand coming in 10 years, this isn't even counting the continent of Africa. You have to assume that that 1.4 billion people, I think is what it is, 1.4 billion people will live in abject poverty for the rest of humanity's time, because it's not just gasoline, as you say, it's plastics, it's everything involved. We got to build roads. We got to do all this stuff. And so this peak demand myth is so frustrating because it's not coming, nor will it ever come. And it is one of the most depressing things I've ever heard, is we sit here in air conditioning on high-speed internet telling people in Africa, in Pakistan, in India, in China, oh, by the way, you're never going to get to our lifestyle, because that's actually what you're saying. The mainstream media don't want to tell you that, but that's actually what you're saying. You're saying to these people, stay poor while we live nice. And that, to me, I can't take that narrative much anymore.
I love it, man. I mean, I love it when a guy is very strong about a subject, which I agree with you. And I like that. You know, and I mean, I think when people say peak demand, they're just kind of like going, okay, well, you know, people are asking, we have to come up with an answer. And I believe it. I think we're in the old business. I don't think it's going away anytime sooner in my lifetime or my kids' lifetime. So I'm excited about it. I like what we're doing.
You know, Jay, I hate to cut in because I'm taking Ryan's lead of cutting in on you. But when you take a look at it, you know, I learned from Ryan and I learned from you too. I mean, both of you guys are my heroes. But when you sit here and take a look at the majors, BP, Total, did I say that right? Total? Yeah. Okay. Total's changing their name. They're saying Total Energy. I mean, I'm even trying to put a Russian accent on a French name. I don't know how that happens. But, you know, when you take a look at their going left and green, they're not going to be exploring as much in the short term. And you take a look at that lack of extra rebuilding, the availability of EMP, it's going to drive that long-term price up, Jay. Operators in the U.S. are critical to all this other goofy stuff going on in the world. So, you know, Ryan is right, you're right, but it's all going to be increasing oil, but it's also going to be decreasing of these other majors going to energy companies and not oil and gas companies. So
there's a thing to do, right? That's the thing, that the people who are going to win are going to be the people who understand that they have to be in the oil and gas business. So some might placate to the green crowd, and I don't have anything against the green crowd. Yes, I'm not against that. But the ones who understand that we have to be good at oil and gas, that's the ones that are going to win, whether you're small or large. The ones who are trying to, appease everyone, they're the ones who are really going to struggle the next few years.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely agree. And I'll tell you what, it just makes so much difference in our funds when we have a $40 price to a $100 price, you know, because it costs you $20, $25 up front to break even. And then everything after that's profit. So you have a $15 profit on $40 oil. You know, hey, you're okay. But man, if you have a $75, you know, profit, it is a lot different for our funds, for our investors. But also too, we're having to pay more to drill and complete wells. So it will. So that's kind of an input on a fund, which I know you guys weren't into now.
Oh no, and we agree with you,
Tony. Man, it is.
Oh. And one of the things that Ryan alluded to is I have a passion for the disproportionately impacted communities, and it frustrates me to no end. And I get all worked up when all of these energy policies and everything else is one thing that's going to happen. And that is the consumers and the disproportionately impacted communities are the ones hit. Ryan hit on it with the African continent and everything else. You're dead on right, Ryan. Did I say you're right? Sorry about that. We'll cut that part out. But the other thing is our wonderful Americans that are on either low income or fixed income are going to get slammed by a lot of these policies. And it really just kind of gets me worked up on the disproportionately impacted communities. So anyway, I'm on a rant. Sorry about that.
I mean, you're going to see people that have a line item there that says, hey, you know, here's my mortgage, here's my insurance, and I bought a house a little bit further out because I wanted that acreage. I live way out in Granbury or somewhere out of the middle.
Whoa.
I mean, way out. Whoa. But you're living so that light item is, you know, your gasoline that you're putting in your tank. I mean, when you go to the tank and all of a sudden it's $40 to fill your tank up, that feels pretty good. But when it gets to be 80 to 100, I mean, I remember back $100 oil when I couldn't even fill my car up.
Yep.
Because it stops you at $100. And I was like, well, I need more than $100 worth of gas. And I had to go up and go, hey, why can't I get more? And they said, well, we just stop you at $100. So you have to come back.
Well, Jay, you're in Texas, as we all are, Texicans. And you got a Ford 350 dually. That kind of takes a little bit of gas, doesn't it?
I don't have a 350, but I had a 250, but it was diesel. So it's a different, but you're right though. I mean, hey, we do take a lot of gas in and we want people to use gas. And that is obviously one of our goals. But there are a lot of great electric cars out there and I do believe in them. I think they're coming. I've always said we're going greener. We're not going green ever. We're not going to go totally green. We're going to go greener. And that's going to be when your electric cars come in. I mean, I know this, you see them every once in a while now, and you see them more often, obviously. You know, but it's going to take a while, but they are coming, and it is. But that doesn't mean the oil and gas business is going down the tubes. I think that's the highlight of today's podcast.
What do you think about having a energy tax bill for electric vehicles if you own it as a second vehicle?
Wow. Man, I like that. I like that. I mean,
you couldn't have it as a primary because we had friends that were trying to travel during the Texas and their cars, their electric cars wouldn't work.
Right. But I like that. I do like that. That is something, you know, I do like that. So, What do we need to round up here? Round up. What is it? Stu, anything else on your mind about supply? I'm going to ask you first instead of Ryan this time. You know, anything else that you're thinking about right now that has an effect on where we're going with oil prices?
You bet. And I think that there's a couple things that are going to happen. We're going to see OPEC next month increase supply a little bit. But that being said, the lack of availability coming out of Canada and new pipelines coming in is going to affect that lack of supply coming in. So I think that we're going to continue to see good oil prices. So that balancing act is going to be there. So I think we're going to see good oil prices for a while.
Yeah. You know, and I had somebody else in my talking about exactly what the oil prices are going to do in the future. And I didn't bring this up earlier and I was thinking about it when you were talking about something, but you know, it's like we have like 450 rigs running right now in the United States drilling for oil and gas. We had over 1,100 at one time. So we're not anywhere close to where we were pre-pandemic. And you know, there's about 600 there's about 600 that need to be drilling for oil and gas in the United States to get us, you know, flat where our production will get to 11.5, 12 and just stay flat at 600 rigs. And I don't think that'll ever happen again for us to get that many more rigs on the market. It's going to take a lot to get from 450 to 600, but we need about 600 rigs drilling for oil and gas in the United States right now to kind of keep it going.
any way I can interrupt you and Ryan makes my day. But Cimarex this morning put out a press release, and that is that I believe they're going to have 5 rigs operating in the Permian. And the CEO said something like, don't make the mistake of multiple rigs running as enthusiasm, but rather surviving. I believe that was the quote this morning's. Pretty cool.
I believe it. I mean, they have to have some kind of cash flow. They're getting a little bit of capital, but they also need to, you know, keep their leases live, which means they got to drill or not lose the leases or drill it. So that's a good thought. But also, I mean, the capital is the big thing, and the capital is just not there. The bigger hedge funds and private equities are going, no, if it's not green, we can't do it, you know, so they're not coming back in the oil and gas business. And that's a big thought right now is where is all the cash going to come from to drill these? Because to keep one rig running in the shell, let's say the Wolfcamp Shell in West Texas, it costs $100 million a year. The capex part is $100 million for one rig. They just committed to $500 million. I mean, unless you got billions and billions upon billions, you have the Ryan Ray top money. I mean, you're right. Say you're SOL, but you're out there. So, Ryan, what are your thoughts about?
So Stu made a prediction and he got it right. So I'm going to make one right now. And so you could write this down, put it in the bank. This is the, whatever we call it, the blood bank guarantee, the bet the farm. Okay. Here's what's going to happen with the EVs. At some point, people are going to actually cover the fact that most of these batteries and the solar technology and all this, the rare earth minerals come from China. Then the Uyghur stuff is going to blow up. And then the connection to the child labor in Africa is going to blow up. And at some point, the good people on the green side will realize that they are promoting stuff that goes against their moral values. And at that point, all of these policies about 2030, 2040, 2035 are going to have to get pushed back a little bit because they won't be able to actually produce the cars. I didn't think they can produce the cars now. But I'm saying that at some point that will be used as an excuse to push these back, is that we can't, you know, the slave labor, the child labor, the tearing up of the environment will actually be used against the EVs somewhere down the road. And so you can write that down. That is my prediction. And wow. I don't know how they'll phrase it, but that will happen. And so all of this talk about getting rid of the oil and gas car, the gasoline and diesel cars will go away or get pushed back, and then it'll eventually go to the side.
Wow. That's good. I like that. That's good. I'll tell you what, I mean, there's just so many things in the world economy, what's going on with everything. And as we see this thing opening up, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that we can make as predictions, but I do know one thing. I do know when we do open up the world again, and it's getting opened up now with the mask and the summertime, and people want to get away. People want to get away and out of their house, and you can't do it unless you walk. And if you do some type of transportation, you're going to be, you know, using oil. And when you do, and we don't have it, or, you know, there's a pipeline that somebody can literally, I mean, the biggest worry I had about that whole Colonial Pipeline was how vulnerable we are and what could happen in the future, not only with the pipeline. And I was talking to somebody the other night, and they said, yeah, we were out of gas in North Carolina. We had to go get $10. They gave us a $10, you know, instead of going to the pump and getting $100, you know, they limited every car to $10 in North Carolina because they simply didn't have the gas. So you just,
wow.
Just think if they wouldn't have paid the ransom, or if they, what's going to happen in the future? That's what I'm concerned about is, you know, the financial markets, this cryptocurrency, and the you know, Ryan Ray's a Bitcoin billionaire. You know, what's going to happen when all that stuff moves man, it's just, let's talk about that. Let's finish up with how vulnerable can we be with what happened at the Colonial Pipeline. Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, so my read on this is probably a little bit different than you guys. My read is that President Biden, or whoever the president is at the time, can easily use this as an act of as an aggression on our country and justify military action against the perpetrator. And so I don't think you're going to see this regularly. I suspect that even this ended quite quickly because there was some back channeling, letting the dark side know that the bombs were coming, or the SEAL team was coming, or you know, James Bond was coming, or whoever, someone was coming. Okay, Jay Young's coming. I don't know. Jay, where were you last week, actually, when this happened? I need to know. I suspect, and we're kind of laughing, but let's be honest, we've gone to war for attacks on our country, rightfully so. If you shut down half of our gasoline and diesel infrastructure, you're right there pushing that button. I don't suspect this. I think it's a threat. There's probably a lot of susceptibilities in the infrastructure, but I also think that you have to realize the government would bomb people, send in SEAL teams, whatever they would handle to stop this type of threat pretty quickly. So if you're a host nation, are you going to protect cyber terrorists? So maybe someone like China would, but here's the problem with that narrative. China just increased its corn purchase from the U.S. China doesn't want to go to war with the U.S. So I think you could see some more of this happen from time to time, but you really got to be careful, because if someone were to die, if there were to be a mass explosion in a refinery because they reverse flow or something like that, I think that's a cause for war, or at least a drone strike. And I'm not sure too many hackers want that action.
Stu, give us a big conclusion. I mean, give us that bomb. I mean, give us the fireworks.
Okay. Land it, Stu.
We're going to land plane, it right baby. Here. And I'm going to say, Jay Young, thank you very much for letting Ryan and me play in your sandbox. I cannot even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you and Ryan. I just really enjoy my time with you guys. So thank you very much. I'm going to disagree with Ryan for the first time in our professional career.
Wow.
And it is the only time. And Ryan, I think that you're right 99.9% of the time, especially because you steal my material. but the thing is, when you take a look at the dark group, they actually had a pretty funny ruh-roh Scooby moment. And that was exactly what you had said, is they probably got the back door and said, James Bond's about to show up. But in that, they also released a statement and said, we'll be more careful who we sell our hacking software to. There are people that are not that particularly smart right now out there, Ryan and Jay, and that is, they got the software, they're going to use it. And I've already heard rumblings in my contacts that there's two more big things coming around the corner. So there's my prediction again. We're going to see them pretty quick.
Stu, well, are you saying that if there are two big things, that you are connected to that? Is that what I'm hearing? Because I'm not connected. Whoa. I don't know anything.
Whoa! No, absolutely not. Explosion. If the CIA on the Jay Young Show, Stu Turley is listening,
cyber terrorism.
It is Jay. Jay's the key technology leader here. But again, Jay, thank you guys very much.
Jay didn't have Russians in his house this week, so you know, keep that.
Hey, that's right. Absolutely. Thanks, Ryan, for that. I appreciate that. Hey, so Stu, how do people find you?
Hey, great question. Thank you. And I'm at energynewsbeat.com. That's our news channel and podcast, and or my LinkedIn, which is Stu Turley at LinkedIn, or sandstone.cg.com. Thank you, Jay.
Great, great, great. And Ryan, what about you? Finalize it, finish it up, land the plane, and how can we find you as well?
Well, thanks for having me on, Jay. First off, you can find me on the Jay Young Show every couple of months now. I'm a regular contributor. I just signed that deal this morning, so I'll be back on here in a few months with Stu Turley as my co-host. That's the first thing. Beyond that, you can find me just by searching my name, Ryan Ray, Texas Longest Podcast, Energy Week Podcast, Inside the War Room.
And the mail carton.
Dark Side Advisor, whatever. You can find me. But most importantly, you can find me right here on the Jay Young Show. I'll be back probably July, Jay, I'm thinking, is when you'll have me back on, right?
That'd be awesome. Love to have you guys on. That'd be great. Thank you so much. Hey, guys, I appreciate everybody being here today. It's been a great pleasure for you two guys. You know, you guys are incredibly bright. You get out there, you know what's going on with your research and talks with not only, you know, with Ryan and his international contacts, and Stu with all his research that he's done. Incredible. Guys, I really appreciate you guys being on and letting me know what's going on, because you know, as investors and as an oil and gas company, we need guidance on where should we put our money, where should we should we hold off or should we go all in, or where is it right now? And then, and I tell you what, we're all in as a company and as a family. We're all in the oil and gas business. We're all in financially, emotionally right now. We feel like for the next 3 to 5 years, it's going to be a great run. Maybe longer than that. Let's just look at 3 to 5 years right now. And I'm excited about that. But Stu, thanks for coming on, Ryan. So glad you're here. You guys appreciate that. This is the Jay Young Show, everybody. Be sure to like me down there on the subscribe channel. Go to Stu Turley, go to Ryan Ray. Be sure and like them and listen to them. They've got some great insight. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a great day. Come back and see us next week. Thank you.